All right. Praise the Lord. So all the major league players are away, the minor league players, so they called the water boy up to come and preach to you guys tonight. But let's get into something. Yesterday was my son's first birthday party. Imagine that, first birthday. And in the midst of all of that chaos, Pastor Veach calls me and says, "Hey, brother, can you preach tomorrow?" So that's so I was watching my son while my wife was at work today and trying to prepare a few notes here. So if you hear any VeggieTale lines or anything in here, that's what it's about. But praise the Lord. Let's turn in our Bibles to the book of Luke, chapter 19. Luke chapter 19. What a messed up day out there today, huh? Man, traffic 10 minutes from my house there was traffic. It was Mike driving real slow on the highway. Praise the Lord. Luke chapter 19, starting in verse 41. Luke chapter 19, starting in verse 41. Now the Bible tells us that Jesus wept three times in Scripture. It uses the word wept twice, and then it also says strong crying and tears in the book of Hebrews. So we're going to quickly just look at the three times Jesus wept in Scripture, and then we're going to more in depth look at one of those occasions. And basically, each time is really a lesson all its own. It's not Jesus weeping is not something we normally would contribute to our Savior. You know, it's not normally one of the things, the attributes we'd think of. We'd think of, you know, healing. We'd think of turning over tables in the temple. We think of, casting out demons and that type of stuff. And not really weeping. You know, that's not something we normally would. But the Bible is clear that he did weep. And it's important for us to know the three times the Bible tells us he wept and what he wept for. You know, it's important for us to understand the heart of our Savior. Amen. So Luke chapter 19, quickly, we're going to read verses 41 to 44. The Bible says, "And when he was come near, he beheld the city and wept over it, saying, If thou hadst known, even thou, at least in this thy day, the things which belong unto thy peace, but now they are hid from thine eyes. For the days shall come upon thee that thine enemies shall cast a trench about thee and compass thee round, and keep thee in on every side, and shall lay thee even with the ground, and thy children within thee. And they shall not leave in thee one stone upon another, because thou knewest not the time of thy visitation." So the Bible tells us here that Jesus wept over the city of Jerusalem. Now we're going to look at the second time, John chapter 11, verse 35. John chapter 11, verse 35. John chapter 11, we'll start in 32. The Bible says, "Then when Mary was come where Jesus was, and saw him, she fell down at his feet, saying unto him, Lord, if thou hadst been here, my brother had not died. When Jesus therefore saw her weeping, and the Jews also weeping, which came with her, he groaned in the spirit, and was troubled, and said, Where have ye laid him? They said unto him, Lord, come and see." And verse 35 tells us Jesus wept. And this, of course, is the account of the raising of Lazarus. This is account number two of Jesus weeping. And the third time, we'll turn to Hebrews chapter 5. Hebrews chapter 5. Still here, pages flipping, so just waiting. Hebrews chapter 5, verse 7. And Paul tells us here, "Who in the days of his flesh, when he had offered up prayers and supplication with strong crying and tears unto him that was able to save him from death, and was heard in that he feared. Though he were a son, yet learned he obedience by the things which he suffered. And being made perfect, he became the author of eternal salvation unto all them that obey him." So this is speaking of in the Garden of Gethsemane, just prior to his betrayal by Judas. See, the Gospels don't tell us that he wept or cried, but Paul clears it up in Hebrews that he in fact did. So we're going to look at the book of Matthew, chapter 26, and that's where we're going to park today. Matthew chapter 26. So this is the Gethsemane story. Matthew chapter 26, starting in verse 36. Bible says, "Then cometh Jesus with them unto a place called Gethsemane, and said unto the disciples, Sit ye here, while I go and pray yonder. And he took with him Peter and the two sons of Zebedee, and began to be sorrowful and very heavy. Then saith he unto them, My soul is exceeding sorrowful, even unto death. Tarry ye here and watch with me. And he went a little further, and fell on his face, and prayed, saying, O my Father, if it be possible, let this cup pass from me. Nevertheless, not as I will, but as thou wilt. And he cometh unto his disciples, and findeth them asleep, and saith unto Peter, What, could ye not watch with me 1 hour? Watch and pray that ye enter not into temptation. The spirit indeed is willing, but the flesh is weak. He went away again the second time, and prayed, saying, O my Father, if this cup may not pass away from me, except I drink it, thy will be done. And he came and found them asleep again, for their eyes were heavy. And he left them, and went away again, and prayed the third time, saying the same words. Then cometh he to his disciples, and saith unto them, Sleep on now, and take your rest. Behold, the hour is at hand, and the Son of Man is betrayed into the hands of sinners. Rise, let us be going. Behold, he is at hand that doth betray me. And let's pray. Heavenly Father, Lord, first and foremost, we'd like to thank you for the Lord Jesus Christ, Father. Thank you that the Bible tells us he is all and in all, Father God. And Lord, help me to appreciate that, Father. Thank you for this opportunity, Lord, to just open your book and share it with these, my brethren, Father God. I pray you loose my tongue, Father, calm my nerves, Lord. And I just pray, most importantly, you minister unto thy people tonight, Father God. Help me to be a blessing, Father. Speak to the hearts and the lives, Father God. I pray that somehow, in some way, Lord, that I can't explain, but between your word and your spirit, Father, I pray we all leave changed tonight, Father God. And I pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen. Okay. So I was recently reminded of this portion of scripture at a men's meeting they have on Friday nights. I think they're having one this Friday, brother. Yeah. So this portion of scripture about nevertheless, and that's really, we're going to get to that. But the first thing I see in this portion of scripture here is the Lord's heart attitude in his prayer, his heart attitude. And by that, I mean, in verse 39, he starts his prayer with, Oh, my Father, oh, my Father. It's different than a lot of his other prayers, but he prayed a few times in the Bible, starting with, Oh, my Father. Then we see the second time he prayed, Oh, my Father, again, and it tells us the third time it was the same thing. See, Jesus was burdened. He was heavy. And to me, this is an example of real prayer. It's coming from the heart. It's coming from deep conviction. The word, I tried to look it up. It's not even in the dictionary. I don't really know what it means. We'd have to ask Pat. He's downstairs somewhere. He's the smart one. But to me, it just signifies really a deep conviction. We can see some example of it in Psalm chapter 30. Keep your finger in Matthew. We're going to go right back there. But Psalm chapter 30, starting in verse 1, the Bible says, I will extol thee, O Lord, for thou hast lifted me up and hast not made my foes to rejoice. Verse 2, O Lord my God, I cried unto thee, and thou hast healed me. Verse 3, O Lord, thou hast brought up my soul from the grave. Thou hast kept me alive that I should not go down to the pit. Verse 4, sing unto the Lord, O ye saints of his, and give thanks at the remembrance of his holiness. Verse 8, I cried unto thee, O Lord, and unto the Lord I made supplication. Verse 10, hear, O Lord, have mercy upon me, Lord, be thou my helper. And verse 12, to the end that my glory may sing praise to thee and not be silent, O Lord my God, I will give thanks unto thee forever. So to me, In 12 verses, we see the word O Lord, mentioned 7 times. And it's to me, it just signifies really a deep conviction, a deep feeling, a burden. I mean, he's really, really means what he's praying about, and he's praying what he means about. And I think that's a good example to us, just right off the bat, just really a heartfelt prayer, really beseeching God. Oh, Lord, my God. That's a good way to pray, brethren. That's a good way to pray. Last Saturday, I work for the Department of Buildings. I work for a unit called the Building Enforcement Safety Team, or BEST Squad. And our job is to inspect high-rise construction jobs. And we write a lot of violations, and they're not really that cheap. You know, tickets or fines people have to pay for doing things or trying to do things unsafe. And just this past Saturday, I was in Brighton Beach at a building going up, and I had to write a few violations. And this man was pretty upset because he has to pay a lot of money, and he's in the middle of the street yelling, oh, my God, you guys give me too many violations. Now, I mean, it's the reason I bring that up is because he was upset. He was burdened. He was deeply feeling the fact that he has to pay a few thousand dollars because of my violations. And this probably lost man, oh, my God, in the middle of the street. But it's the same thing. It's the same thing. Oh, my God. He really was deeply convicted or deeply burdened by the fact that I wrote him some violations. So, I mean, even in our modern vernacular, it's still, you know, the oh, my God, oh, my Lord is still there. But for a child of God, it should be in a different light, I guess you can say, if that makes any sense to you. But what a way to pray. What a way to pray. Looking back at Matthew chapter 26, what a great example the Lord gave us here about heart attitude in prayer. He wasn't praying some vain, repetitious prayer like Matthew 6 talks about, but it was heartfelt. Just like the Pharisee and the publican in Matthew chapter 13. You guys remember that story, right? The Pharisee is, I don't do this and I don't do that. A publican couldn't even lift his head. He couldn't even lift his face. He just beat on his chest and say, Lord, forgive me, a sinner. Forgive me, Lord. I'm a sinner. I'm sorry. Oh, God, be merciful to me, a sinner. And the Bible tells us that man went to his house justified and not the Pharisee. You know, this whole thing is about heart attitude, brethren. This whole thing, the way we come to this book, the way we come to the Lord in our prayers. You know, I know the Bible tells us, you know, we can let us therefore come boldly unto the throne of God, but with the right heart attitude, brethren, definitely with the right heart attitude. But the second thing I see here is Jesus prayed three times, not once, three times. It tells us here in this account in Matthew chapter 26. Verse 39, he says, oh, my Father, if it be possible, let this cup pass from me. Verse 42, if this cup may not pass away except I drink it, thy will be done. And again, in verse 44, the Bible tells us he repeats the same thing. So starting at the second prayer, we can sort of see the Lord Jesus Christ accepting God's will. You guys see that? Let's look at it. Verse 39. This is the first prayer. And he went a little further and fell on his face and prayed, saying, oh, my Father, if it be possible, let this cup pass from me. Nevertheless, not as I will, but as thou wilt. That's the first prayer. Down in verse 42, the second time, he's coming to the Lord for the same thing. The second time, he went away again the second time and prayed, saying, oh, my Father, if this cup may not pass away from me, except I drink it, thy will be done. You guys see the difference there? He prayed the first time. Second time he's coming and he's accepting the Lord's will. The second time and then again the third time. But the example he leaves us here is he prayed three times for something. Reminded me of the Apostle Paul. He tells us also in 2 Corinthians that he prayed three times for something. You guys remember that? Amen. You can throw the ball back. It's all right. It's Wednesday. It's not Sunday. So that's 2 Corinthians chapter 12. We can look at that quickly. Keep your finger in Matthew. We're going right back. 2 Corinthians chapter 12, verses 8 and 9. We'll start in 7. And lest I should be exalted above measure, through the abundance of the revelations, there was given me a thorn in the flesh, the messenger of Satan to buffet me, lest I should be exalted above measure. For this thing I besought the Lord thrice, that it might depart from me. And he said unto me, My grace is sufficient for thee, for my strength is made perfect in weakness. Most gladly, therefore, will I rather glory in my infirmities, that the power of Christ may rest upon me. So we see here in the scriptures two examples of praying three times for something. Now, please don't misunderstand me. I'm not saying, you know, there's many things, and Lord knows I've been praying for years about. I have a 14-year-old daughter. She's unsaved. I've been praying for years about it. You know, that's not the kind of things I'm talking about. But what I am talking about is the type of stuff that the Spirit of God and the Word of God, we already know the answer to, but we're going to keep trying to pray to God and keep trying to change His mind. That's the kind of stuff I'm talking about. Don't try to change His mind. Change your mind. Change your mind. Amen? Not for everything. Please, I'm not speaking heresy here. Pray. Pray for years and years for your families and everything else, and I'll pray with you. But I'm talking about the things that the Lord makes completely clear through His Word and through His Spirit to our hearts. And we know those things. The Apostle Paul tells us, and the Lord told me, my grace is sufficient. So he already knew the answer, so he didn't have to pray anymore for it. He already knew it. I'm simply saying we have the Apostle Paul's example of beseeching the Lord thrice, and also the example of the Lord Jesus Christ praying three times and then accepting the Lord's will on that matter. Like I said, I guess what I'm trying to say is we should stop trying to change God's will into our will. If we prayed, and we know the Lord Jesus Christ is interceding, as the Bible tells us, and we know the Holy Ghost is interceding, as the Bible tells us, then we ought to just let it go, brethren. You know the old adage, let go and let God? Don't stay bogged down. Don't stay burdened and in this pit of self-pity. Just let it go. You prayed about it. The Lord knows your heart. Let it go, brethren. Let it go. And if he changes it, then praise the Lord. And if he doesn't, then praise the Lord. You know, amen. The biggest and hardest struggle in the Christian life, what I'm finding, and some of you are definitely saved longer than me, but it's simply just accepting the Lord's will. Stop fighting. Stop kicking against the pricks. Just accept it. Accept it. Accept where he's left you. Be thankful where you are and the spot you're in. Be thankful for, I'm almost to a point, brethren, where I'm thankful for my debts. I'm thankful for everything. It keeps me humble. If I had a lot of money, God only knows what I'd be doing, where I'd be, you know. But he's got me where he wants me. And, I've come to a point, I'm 32 years old, only saved a handful of years, but I've come to a point where I can just be happy about that, just be happy about where I am in Jesus Christ. Amen. Amen. And I hope that can be, a blessing to you. But it's definitely the second thing I see here in this portion of Scripture is that Jesus prayed three times, and we have multiple accounts of it in the Bible, and it's a good habit to be in, you know, for certain things. The third thing I see, and this is really the crux of the message, is that wonderful, magnificent word of nevertheless. Nevertheless. Verse 39 here in Matthew 26, verse 39. Again, it says, and he went a little further and fell on his face and prayed, saying, O my Father, if it be possible, let this cup pass from me. Nevertheless, not as I will, but as thou will. Nevertheless, wonderful word, wonderful word. I looked it up in the dictionary just to sort of really want to wrap my, I think I know, I'm pretty sure what it means, but I really wanted to see what old Noah Webster said in 1800. And it tells me the definition of nevertheless is notwithstanding. I have no idea what that means. I know what nevertheless means more than notwithstanding. So I gave up on that route. And I started to look at just the Bible and, times the word nevertheless is used in Scripture. And let that try to explain to me, because I'm simple-minded. I went to school in Brooklyn, so that's that. But the Lord knew the will of the Father. The Bible's clear on that. There's so many prophecies that he fulfilled in his life intentionally. The Lord knew that, Isaiah says, but he was wounded for our transgressions. He was bruised for our iniquities. The chastisement of our peace was upon him. And with his stripes we are healed. The Lord knew what Psalm 22 was speaking about, you know, his crucifixion. He even said in John 12, "Now my soul is troubled, and what shall I say? Father, save me from this hour. But for this cause came I into this hour." He knew what he was here for. He knew what he was here to do. John 18:11 tells us, "Then said Jesus unto Peter, put up thy sword into thy sheath. The cup which my Father hath given me, shall I not drink it?" He knew what he had to do. But here in the scriptures, we see a rare glimpse of the humanity of Jesus Christ. You know, he was all God, 100%, and all man, 100%. And we really see a glimpse of his humanity here. That's not an easy thing to go through, what he went through, brethren. He said, "If it be possible, let this cup pass from me." But in the same breath, he yielded his will to the Father's will in saying, "Nevertheless, not my will, but thine be done." This was no easy task. This book tells us that he went to the Lord three times and that he was sorrowful and very heavy. And again, he said, "My soul is exceeding sorrowful and very heavy. Nevertheless." Big word, brethren. Nevertheless. Let's take our Lord's example to heart as he put aside his will and subjected himself to the Father's. Jesus didn't lack faith in the Father, being capable of all things. Yet this was God the Father's will, and the Lord Jesus Christ yielded himself to it. Nevertheless, brethren, big word. Underline it, highlight it, put exclamation marks around it. It's a big word in the Bible, brethren. If we can learn to live in that nevertheless, like the Lord Jesus Christ, and in every facet of our lives, man, the progression we would have in our walk. I mean, we would really, we'd be mountains above where we are now in our walk with Christ if we can learn to simply live in that nevertheless, in that example that he left for us in the Bible. Matthew 26:39 tells us, "And he went a little further and fell on his face and prayed, saying, O my Father, if it be possible, let this cup pass from me. Nevertheless." Tells us the same thing in Mark. And he said, "Abba, Father, all things are possible unto thee. Take away this cup from me. Nevertheless, not what I will, but what thou wilt." And again in Luke, it tells us, saying, "Father, if thou will be willing, remove this cup from me. Nevertheless, not my will, but thine be done." Now, I want to look at one more nevertheless in the Bible. And I'm not going to comment too much on it. I just hope that the Spirit of God will just speak to you through it. And that's Luke chapter 5. Luke chapter 5. Matthew, Mark, Luke chapter 5. But continuing with this thought of nevertheless. Nevertheless. Luke chapter 5. Starting in verse 1. And it came to pass, we're going to read 1 through 11, so we're going to read quite a bit here, but just pay attention. Watch the words as Pastor Dean drills into our heads. Just watch the words in what we're reading here. Something we've all read many, many times. How many people haven't read this? Has anybody not read this portion of Scripture yet? All right. You will. You will, brother. But most of us have. Amen? Okay. Luke chapter 5, starting in verse 1 through 11. And it came to pass that as the people pressed upon him to hear the word of God, he stood by the lake of Gennesaret. And he saw two ships standing by the lake, but the fishermen were gone out of them and were washing their nets. And he entered into one of the ships, which was Simon's, and prayed him that he would thrust out a little from the land. And he sat down and taught the people out of the ship. Now, when he had left speaking, he said unto Simon, "Launch out into the deep and let down your nets for a draught." And Simon answered, and Simon answering said unto him, "Master, we have toiled all night and have taken nothing. Nevertheless, at thy word, I will let down the net." And when he had this done, they enclosed a great multitude of fishes, and their net brake. And they beckoned unto their partners, which were in the other ship, that they should come and help them. And they came and filled both the ships, so that they began to sink. When Simon Peter saw it, he fell down at Jesus' knees, saying, "Depart from me, for I am a sinful man, O Lord." For he was astonished, and all that were with him, at the draught of the fishes which they had taken. And so was also James and John, the sons of Zebedee, which were partners with Simon. And Jesus said unto Simon, Fear not, from henceforth thou shalt catch men. And when they had brought their ships to land, they forsook all and followed him. So let me ask you a question, brethren. Have you guys gotten tired of doing things your way yet? I mean, has that happened yet? You gotten tired of doing things your way? I don't know if it's getting older or if it's getting older in Christ, or I'm not really sure what it is, but I'm tired, flat tired of doing things my way, in my strength, in things I think is right, instead of simply yielding to the word of the Lord and the will of God. See, these guys were fishing, professional fishermen, toiling. The Bible uses the word toiling. Another fancy word I had to look up just to make sure I had right. So this is what the word toiling means. To labor, to work, to exert strength with pain and fatigue of body or mind, particularly of the body, with efforts of some continuance or duration. So toiling, they were out all night long into the hours of the morning, toiling, trying to catch fish, professional fishermen. And you know what they got? Nothing. They caught nothing. Everything they know, all their experience, they did everything possible, and they caught nothing. But Peter says, Master, we have toiled all night and have taken nothing. Nevertheless, at thy word, I will let down the net. At thy word, I will let down the net. And guess what happens? More fish than they could even carry. Imagine that. Now, can we apply that to our lives? Are we allowed to? Doctrinally, I think so. Amen. I think we can. If we simply stop doing it in our way, in our strength, in our mind, in what we think is the Lord's will for our lives, and just simply start doing it His way. Man. You know, we sing a song, I'm pressing on the upward way. Imagine if we can get that nevertheless right, we'd be miles up that hill from where we are right now. If we can simply get a simple word, nevertheless, not my will, but thine be done. In every single aspect, in every single facet of our lives, nevertheless, not my will, but thine be done. Let me ask you, is that you on the ship? Do you see yourself there? When I was preparing this, I see myself there for years. I was on that ship for years, doing it my way, doing it in my strength, even after being saved, even as a Christian, doing it my way. I think this is what the Lord wants for me to do. I think this is what the Lord wants. I think this is what the Lord wants. Tell me, brethren, isn't it time we just say, at thy word, I will let down the net. At thy word, I will. At thy word, I will. Not just I will. Because I think so. You know where the I will comes from? That's Satan. The I will, back in Isaiah 14. You guys know what I'm talking about? Let's take a look at it. Isaiah chapter 14. A lot of flipping tonight, but it's Wednesday night Bible study. So we can flip a little bit. Isaiah chapter 14. Isaiah chapter 14, starting in verse 12. The Bible says, How art thou fallen from heaven, O Lucifer, son of the morning? How art thou cut down to the ground, which didst weaken the nations? For thou hast said in thine heart, I will ascend into heaven. I will exalt my throne above the stars of God. I will sit also upon the mount of the congregation in the sides of the north. I will ascend above the height of the clouds. I will be like the Most High. So tell me, brethren, which I will would you prefer? That I will, the one we've been following our whole lives, or at thy word, I will. At thy word, I will. At thy leading, I will. When the Spirit of God, your Spirit, speaks to my heart through your word, I will. Which I will are you going to follow, brethren? That's the crux of the message. I don't have any more notes. I'm done. But you know, something simple, something our eyes pass so often. I mean, so often. Nevertheless, not my will, but thine be done. I'm sick of my will, brethren. Amen. right, praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Let's pray, I guess. Amen. Heavenly Father.